Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada.
How many of you come every Sunday? Raise your hand. There's one. Only one person comes every Sunday.
Hare Krishna. I'm afraid to say Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa because everyone will bow down and there's not enough room. But anyway, we'll just say all glories to Sisi Gonetai, all glories to Sisi Radhabalava, all glories to Jagannath Baldev, Subhadra Devi, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the devotees, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, all. Yes, we are very fortunate to be here. And today is a very special day. We won't have a regular Bhagavatam class today. Because today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur and also Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Now, raise your hand if you're familiar with Bhaktivinod Thakur already. Okay, raise your hand if you're familiar with Gadadhar Pandit already. Okay. So who will give the class then, since you all... Now, I also had a different plan, too, to read a short pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's when he was traveling in South India. Now, whether I'll be able to do everything all at once, I don't think I'll be able to do it. But first, I'd like to say a little bit about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I've heard Srila Prabhupada say it is our duty to glorify these great souls on their appearance or disappearance day. In Vaishnava circles, we say that the appearance and disappearance of a great soul is the same. We compare it to the rising and setting of the sun, because these great personalities are always present in any case. But yet there's a very big difference between the appearance day and the disappearance day. We see this from our own experience of the appearance day and disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, because on one day, on Prabhupada's appearance day, we are very joyous, and on Prabhupada's disappearance day, we sort of dread that day, because we have to think of Prabhupada's leaving this world. But yet, both bring different types of happiness, because both we end up glorifying this the great personalities, in that case, Srila Prabhupada. So before we begin, let me just offer some prayers. Om Agana Tamilandasya Zina Zina Salakaya Chaksusamilatan Zena Tasmai Sri Gure Guru Vinama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Zena Vutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam Vanchakopadrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. I'll first say just a few words about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There are so many well-known pastimes of his, and there's so much written about him. But one interesting fact is that although he is an eternal associate of the Lord, he's accepted as such by Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, by Srila Prabhupada. Eternal associate means he lives always with Krishna in the spiritual world, but then comes to this world for a specific purpose. And that purpose was really to restart the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu had come 500 years ago, and Vaishnavism, or the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, did not have a good reputation because of their improper activities. They were so-called followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was so strict in his behavior, and his followers were so strict, so renounced. They had taken shelter of the holy name so completely, they were experiencing such happiness. Can you imagine that? I heard just this morning, I heard Prabhupada in a lecture. He was speaking about the happiness of a devotee who was taking shelter of the holy names. And he gave the example of Srila Rupa Goswami, who was and he and his brother were more or less the prime minister and the treasurer, perhaps, in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah, who during that time he was historically an extremely powerful ruler, and his whole history is known. And they were he was a warrior, a conqueror, etc. And they were the prime administrators. And they had so much power, they had so much wealth, they had so much fame, they had so much influence. And they gave it up like that, tuchavat, as if it was insignificant, because they were so captivated by the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were so captivated by the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were so captivated by the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness that they thought these material positions, the material wealth, tuchavat means insignificant. And as Prabhupada said when I heard him speaking about it this morning, what he said, they were thinking, what am I doing this nonsense? Just playing with the material energy, playing in the playground of the material energy, like a child playing in a playground, imagining something is important or imagining something is not important, fighting with the other children in the playground. Do you ever fight with the children in the playground? That means you're not sure. What is this? This means yes, this means no. And what does this mean, though? Sometimes, okay. Okay. Yeah, I learned something today in class. How nice. But if you have a little argument with one of your friends in the playground, do you forget about it quite quickly? Or do you remember it for a long time? Oh, you do remember it, okay. You should forget it, because it's not very important. Huh? The day after? Do you forget it the day after? Yeah, the day after it happens, you forget about it. Very good. Why do you forget about it the day after? That's a difficult question, maybe. But because it's not very important, because you go on with your life, and there are more important things to do with your life than just think about something that happened yesterday that wasn't so important. So the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, they and the other Goswamis, they were so wealthy, and so powerful, so influential, and they gave up that to live almost externally appeared like beggars, making sure they carried no wealth with them or had any wealth, making sure that they didn't have any material security even for the purpose of just depending on Krishna and tasting the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, of chanting Krishna's names. Prabhupada was speaking about the sweetness of chanting Krishna's names. Just being immersed in association with Krishna by chanting his names. And they knew Janmaishwarya Shruti Sri Bire Damana Mana Pumam Na Eva Arhati Abhijatum Vai Tamakin Shinagojara. That Krishna, he reciprocates with everyone, and with everyone according to how they want to deal with him. And if we're holding on to material things very tightly, as if they're going to protect us or save us, or as if they're very important, and on the other hand, trying to hold on to him. Well, can you hold? What can I hold on to when I'm holding on to? Can I really hold on to something else if I'm holding tightly to this? Very difficult. We try, maybe, because we're not really sure that Krishna is going to take care of us. But what do we hold on to? Things that we're actually sure that won't take care of us ultimately. But in any case, that's not what I wanted to speak about exactly, but it's true. And then Prabhupada gave a contrary example, that these people were, they lived in ecstasy with nothing, practically speaking, and they were so influential, in fact, that at that time there was Maharaj Akbar, and he would call Jiva Goswami into his court and get advice from him and help and ask him, how do I resolve this and how do I resolve that? They were so influential. But they didn't have anything externally, but their wealth that they guarded so carefully was their spiritual life, their love for Krishna, their service and love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That they protected, just as all of us naturally protect our material wealth and our bank balances and our this and that, and we have so many alarms on the doors, and our cars have alarms, and this and that, because we want to protect it, and we're fearful. That's why we want to protect it. But these souls, they had no fear, but they wanted for their material things, but they were so careful about protecting their spiritual wealth, because they saw that as the real asset of life. And there's no taxes either. And then he gave a contrary example to one politician that in Bengal, who was a member of the Congress Party before Indian independence, and during the time when Srila Prabhupada was growing up, a person who was named C.R. Das, who was such a powerful lawyer during the British time. and he was earning so much money and everything, but he was a member of the Congress Party, and at that time the Congress Party under Gandhi and whoever else was there, he was one of the leaders. They had a policy of non-cooperation with the British government, especially in the court of law. This is what Prabhupada was saying. And in the court of law, they were saying that the Indian people couldn't get proper justice anyway, so why should we come? Why should we show up? So they decided to non-cooperate, and he was a member of that, so wealthy, so influential, contributing all his money to the cause, earning so much, every month, so much. So because he had to surrender to that, because he was one of the leaders. So he had to stop his law profession. So he went from earning, Prabhupada gave the figure, but I can't remember the amount, but it was like, practically speaking, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. He went from earning $100,000 a month to nothing. And they had to give him 500 rupees a month for his maintenance. So he went from this powerful position to practically being a beggar. And it was so difficult for him because he was very charitable. And anyone who came to him for any charity who needed help, he had always previously given and given, given, given. And then he was getting 500 rupees a month. And Prabhupada said, contrasting it to the Goswamis, he died within a year. He died within a year. Because the pleasure that he was getting from his position was gone. But on the other hand, the Goswamis, they lived a life that was ecstatic. Although externally they appeared to be beggars, externally they didn't have any foundation to stand on. And just imagine walking without a foundation to stand on. You can't walk. It's so externally they had nothing, but internally they had everything. They had the greatest wealth. So the purity of Mahaprabhu's movement had been lost, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, and he was, on one hand, he was a very powerful, in the material world, influential person, and on the other hand, he was a devotee of great character. On one hand, he wasn't externally a renunciant of this world. And he was a person whose character, he was the district magistrate of different areas, and that in India that meant practically that you were the governor of that area, and whatever you said was the law, and however you decided things was the conclusion. So on one hand, he was in the world showing that Vaishnavas aren't penniless beggars of low character, as was seemed to be happening at that time, against the actual lives and teachings of Mahaprabhu and his followers. And yet he was in the world, powerful, performing his services and having the highest character, and at the same time, a devotee, but not only an ordinary devotee, but he was always internally involved in Krishna's pastimes. So exalted and so advanced. And interestingly, very interestingly, when he was young, he was very philosophical. His education was both in Bengali. He spoke so many languages, Orissa and English. He really loved his English literature. He studied that very carefully. He was a searcher for the truth. He found great direction when he was young, not in Vaishnavism, not in Krishna consciousness even, but in Christianity. He loved the life of Lord Jesus, how he was given, he was a servant of the Lord and was renunciant, and he loved the teachings of compassion. And he studied even the Quran, he studied philosophy. He was really searching externally. And then, at some point in his life, he found the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He found Mahaprabhu. Or we could say he rejoined with Mahaprabhu. And then his whole life, he understood the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he understood the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Mamalam. And he studied Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He studied so carefully the whole Bhagavatam. And he did so many wonderful things. While still, and wrote so many literatures and song books. He wrote 4 different song books, and one Sharanagati, Gitavali, Gitamala, and Kalyana Kalpatru. They're all quite different. They're very, very wonderful. And they were really outpourings of his heart in Krishna consciousness. And he also wrote one song, and see if I can get this contraption to work. Now, there's a lot of, it's actually not a song, it's a little essay, but it's very short. And there's a lot of Sanskrit in it. He wrote it in it. But I'm not going to read the Sanskrit verses. This is what he says. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an ocean of transcendental rasa, of limitless transcendental rasa, which means that in this material world, it is basically dry, and we're looking for nourishment and water. But it is like a desert. But can one drop of water, or a spoonful of water, or a cupful of water solve the problems of the waterless desert? No, one needs an ocean of water. So he's comparing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an ocean of limitless transcendental rasa, which means an ocean that has no limit of spiritual sweetness. This is the experience of someone who is actually tasting that ocean. It is limitless. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. And he continues, is the embodiment of nectarian mellows. He himself is tasting, Mahaprabhu himself is tasting, not only tasting himself, but distributing and teaching how we can also taste and experience transcendental rasa. Who is the ambrosia, the nectar-producing moon, attracting the chakora bird minds of the Bengali devotees of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Who is the dear son of Mother Sachi? One day he showed his mercy to all created beings. One day he gave his mercy to all beings by giving the following command to Sriman Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, as recorded in the Chaitanya Bhagavata. Suno, suno, Nityananda, suno, Haridasa, savatra mai agya koroho prakash prati gare gare gya, koro e bitla. You go from place to place. You go from place to place. I'm giving you this order. You go from place to place begging. Because there were so many beggars. There's always so many beggars. But this is what I want you to beg. In every door, gare, from every house, you go and beg. Bolo Krishna. Say on Krishna's name. Bhajai Krishna. You worship Krishna. Koro Krishna Sika. You take Krishna's instructions. You say that. Please chant Krishna's name. You worship Krishna and teach others to follow Krishna's instruction. Do not speak or cause anyone to speak anyone other than anything other than this. So he's saying that Mahaprabhu gave this order to show compassion to the world. In order to carry out this command, Prabhu Nityananda and Thakur Haridas took the help of other devotees and they went from house to house preaching the glories of Krishna's holy names. This is Bhaktivinoda's essay. In the series of statements, Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Sika, there are three different commands. The meaning of the command Bolo Krishna is all jivas, all souls, always chant the name of Krishna. The meaning of Bhajo Krishna, so it's in a command, is Hey Jiva, all spirit souls, cause the flower of the holy name to blossom into the expanding petals of Krishna's form, his qualities, and lila. Compares the holy name to a flower that has different petals and allow the holy name to blossom, to expand from a bud into the different petals, not just chanting, but also allow it to expand in your heart to Krishna's, because the holy name is not different from Krishna. Chant in such a way that Krishna's form is there. Chant in such a way that Krishna's qualities are there and his pastimes. And thus, you will enjoy the flower-like holy name of Krishna. The meaning of the... So he's explaining, giving a purport in his own very sweet way of the order that Mahaprabhu gave to Nityananda and Haridas and other devotees who helped them. The meaning of this is the third command. First one is what? Second one? Worship Krishna. The meaning of the command Koro Krishna Sika is all devotees of Krishna. Become endowed with the knowledge of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, means become filled and understand the knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, what the goal of Krishna consciousness is, and the process of attaining that goal. And then relish the supreme relationship with Krishna, which is the honey nectar of that name flower. If you understand these things, you will that the name will balance, will blossom. And in this chapter, we will give an explanation to some extent of the first command, Bolo Krishna. And in later chapters, perhaps this is from, maybe it's from, I'm not sure whether the whole, if this is a chapter, maybe from Chaitanya Sukhsamrita or something. So he's going to explain mostly always chant the name of Krishna. In this chapter, we will give an explanation to some extent of the first command. Later in other chapters, I will try to give specific explanations of the second and third command. So Mahaprabhu's order is simply this, that everyone should, without stopping, chant Harinam, the name of Krishna. Because our minds are always working. They're always going on and on and on and on and on about this, about what happened yesterday, what will happen tomorrow, and this person said this to me, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that tomorrow, and on and on and on and on and on, and 50 years ago this happened to me, that person said to me so long ago, it's still in my heart, and in the future, this and that and this and that. And this basically, I was going to say, our minds drive us crazy, but this is the symptom of the craziness of the mind, why we're not happy in this world. Do you know that the mind is a reflection of the spiritual world? Our mind is a reflection of the spiritual world, and in this reflection that is upside down, we are the center. And in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is the center. And because Krishna, Bhule Sejiv, because we turn our back on Krishna and our relationship with Krishna, so Krishna so kindly gives us an illusory universe in which we are the center because that's what we wanted. And that illusory universe is called our mind. And we live in this illusory universe where we're imagining how the real universe should cooperate with our illusion that we are the center. I will say that again, because it's so peculiar and so insane. We get frustrated because the real universe doesn't cooperate with the illusory universe that we are the center. So no wonder there's so much conflict and difficulty in the world, because here, say there's, I don't know how many devotees are here, but say if there's, how many devotees are in the room, do you think? Okay, say there's 150 people, and we all have our illusory universes. I mean, not about devotees, of course, because for devotees, Krishna is in the center, and Krishna's pleasure is in the center. So we all have our plans how the universe should cooperate with us. But each and every one of us is thinking the universe should cooperate with me, not you. So even with 150 people thinking that I'm the center, not you, and each and every one of them is thinking that there's going to be so much conflict and so much distress and so much frustration and so much anger, because the universe, the business of the universe is simply not to cooperate with our plan. It's to cooperate with the Krishna's plan. So therefore, an explanation of Mahaprabhu's first order is that everyone should without stop chant Harinam, incessantly chant Krishna's name. The meaning of this command, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is not that people should always chant the name while completely stopping from their bodily activities, their household duties, and dealing with others. So not that you sit alone and just chant and stop everything else. Because what the mind does is that when we hear that only Krishna consciousness is important, when we hear that how important Krishna consciousness is and how the material world is temporary and it's useless and it's a cause of suffering, dukkha layama, sasvatam, when we hear that, we become discouraged in our Krishna consciousness, knowing that there's no way we can give up our material life and our material duties and our material activities, etc., etc. So to think that it's either all or nothing, that is actually the path of Jnana Yoga, not the path of Bhakti Yoga. So the meaning of this command to always chant Hare Krishna is not to stop our bodily activities, our household duties, and our dealings with others. By ceasing all actions of bodily maintenance, the body will be destroyed in a short while. In the context of this command, then, how should one engage in Harinam? Since the Lord gave humanity the command to incessantly take the holy name, then the true meaning is that everyone, whether grihastha or sannyasi, vanaprastha or brahmachari, brahmana or kshatriya, vaishya or sudra, lowborn, mlecha, so forth, whatever we are, whoever we are, all people should remain in their respective situations and chant the holy names of Krishna. Truly, this is the only meaning. It is necessary to nicely remain in one's own natural situation because that position facilitates, it makes easy the proper performance of one's activities for bodily maintenance, and thus the body will not expire, die untimely. And bodily maintenance requires dealing with others. It is essential that all actions be observed in a pure and undisturbed fashion. Then all these things will be conducted very nicely. So when Nityananda Prabhu was preaching the first command of Mahaprabhu, he spoke in the following way. And there's a quotation from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Nityananda and Haridas repeated the Lord's command by calling out to everyone, chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and accept Krishna's holy name from others. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. And Krishna is the treasure of your life's breath. Chant Krishna's names like a baby crying for mother. But don't disturb everyone else's chanting. Krishna has come to this world. He's the treasure of your life's breath. What do you think that means? He is the treasure of your life's breath. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? Yes, thank you. Otherwise, I'd have to, you know.
Your life's breath is like the most valuable, and you should be putting it to Krishna.
It is the real wealth, thank you. It is the real wealth, the thing that you can gain the most from your breathing, from your life, because without breathing, we don't stay alive. And the breath is used to make a sound. Without breathing, you cannot speak or make sounds. The sound comes out by the vibration of the vocal cords from the lungs or from the diaphragm. So the real gain from the breath, from the life, is to be able to chant Krishna's holy name, Vasudeva na Chintaye. That it is the greatest loss, the greatest illusion, the greatest waste. One moment, this is from the Vishnu Purana, one moment without remembering the Lord is such a loss. It is such an illusion. So this is a very high standard, but this is what will make the holy name blossom into the form and qualities and pastimes. So Krishna has incarnated just for your benefit. So please worship this. This is what Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas repeated to everyone. So worship merciful Krishna and give up all sinful activities. Now, if you just went around in the streets on Swanston Street and proclaimed this to everyone, no one would be very happy, especially to hear that they should give up sinful activities, because they'll say, what sinful activities to you is another is not sinful to another, and they give you some postmodern deconstructed sense of everyone has their own, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, what's true and what's not true, and what's real and what's not real. Because this is the contemporary philosophy of the world, that it's up to every individual, and if you don't, and everyone has to make their own decision about what's true and what's good and what's not good and what's false. And if you don't believe me, just go onto any internet forum, even in my, what I used to look at, not anymore, because for one reason or another, is about cameras. And even on an internet forum discussing cameras and camera lenses, it always ends with a fight. And but not only, oh, I don't think that's true, this is another way to look, they end up cursing each other and calling each other fools and crazy, really angry fighting over camera lenses. Now, what to speak about politics and religion and things that have some meaning in people's lives over camera lenses, because everyone, and that's what the internet does, it democratizes, everyone's opinion is equal, and it always ends up in fighting in that way. Arguing, quarreling, and viciously over camera lenses. What to speak of? Oh no. My computer has just informed me that I'm not connected. And then it tells me, the web just isn't the same without you. Let's get you back online. Thank you, Prabhu. That's just what I needed. Go away. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Lord Krishna's name is truly the treasure of your life. All of you, please, deliberately, with consciousness, incessantly, chant Krishna's names without stop. Thus, living thus absorbed, the other things of concern, the other thing of concern is to see that no sinful behavior contaminates your actions of bodily or household maintenance. The meaning of the word anachar is asadachar, or activities of impious nature. So remember, Vaishnavism in this day was contaminated. People's idea of devotees, of followers of Mahaprabhu, were people who were acting in sinful ways and improper ways under the guise of Vaishnavism. Aware devotees, we can dance with the wives of others in the middle of the night, and like Krishna did it, and taking intoxicants and this and that. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur took it upon himself with his perfect character to change the opinion of the whole society about the quality of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Because again, the actual Mahaprabhu himself was so strict in his dealings and so pure. And the followers of Mahaprabhu, those early followers of Mahaprabhu, they were so pure. Everyone loved them so much. Sanatana Goswami has described them, but Bhakti Ratnakara, he used to travel, walk, from one, he would go to one village. And as he was walking to that village, all the people from that village would come out. Bada Baba is coming. He's coming, he's coming. And they would all come out and greet him, and they would walk him to the village, the center, and they would talk to him, and they would feed him, and he would say to them, "How is your family doing? How's your prosperity? And oh, we have this problem, Baba, with this and this. Just bring them, and he'd solve everyone's problems, and he would just be chanting and serving and telling everyone to chant and living by such a pure, productive example." Well, he himself wanted nothing from others. Where will you sit? Chotabai? Kaha? Okay. The chair has come to you. And then he would spend, and they knew he would only spend one night in one place. So detached. And just imagine how little you would have to carry with you when you were, because you had to carry it yourself. So he would, and then he would, the next morning they would say, oh, Baba, we know that you only spend one night in one place, but maybe you could just this time just spend one more day here. Don't worry, it's okay. No. And he would walk out of the village, and everyone would follow him from a distance. And he'd say, no, you go back, you have. And then he would walk, and then the people in the next village would say, oh, Bada Baba is coming. And they'd all come out. And this way he would pass his, he would just such a satisfying, pure personality. And everyone wanted to be in his presence. And in his presence, there were no problems. He would solve them. And Srila Prabhupada was like that too. You walk into his room, and you'd have so many issues and problems and confusions going in your mind. And then he'd say, so, everything is all right? Yes, Prabhupada. Because in his presence, everything came into its proper perspective when your consciousness was actually in his presence. Because it was possible to be in his physical presence and your consciousness was somewhere else, and that was very difficult. Very difficult, because it's being in the presence of the sun and your eyes are closed and you can't see anything, and you know that the sun is there, and if you just had your eyes open, you'd see everything, but without... That was very difficult. And Maya is very powerful too. So you enter the bubble of his association, and everything was all right. And then you leave the bubble of his association, your own mind would descend sort of and take over again. So the idea was to keep always in the service of Prabhupada, of the holy names, and not leave that association. Which was sort of, that comes right into the pastime I wanted to actually read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which, before I found out it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day and Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day, and doesn't seem like I'm going to get to even Gadadhar Pandit, what to speak of. Let's see if we can finish this. So he said, keep live a pure life.
protect your consciousness in that way. And he quotes from his dealings with Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu's dealings with Jagai and Madai. Embarking on the path of Dharma, act properly. Chant the holy name of Lord Hari, then you will also deliver others. Now please go and call as many thieves and criminals that you can. Gathering them together, cause them to similarly adhere to the path of Dharma. Nityananda Prabhu said, "Hey Vipra, to Jagai Madai, just give up the path of irreligiosity, a Dharma, once and for all. Do not perform any further sinful activities. However, by renouncing a Dharma alone, you should not live carelessly, but rather make a positive endeavor to accept the path of Dharma. And the principles of Dharma are described in the Bhagavatam." And then there's a whole long list of what Dharma is, how to live simplicity, satisfaction, celibacy, renunciation, mental restraint. This is from the Bhagavatam. And there's many: rendering service, offering worship, offering prayers, becoming a servant, abstinence of useless topics of conversation, searching for the true self as different from the material body. So you live like this. For the purpose of passing your lives nicely, please desire to engage in these activities that constitute the principles of Dharma. Just behave honestly in this way. But at the same time, without stopping, remain absorbed in chanting Krishna's holy names. This is my only advice to you. This is what he told them. We just arrived at the end of this chapter or little essay called Sri Sri Godruma Chandrer Agya, the order of the divine command of Godruma Chandra, which is Mahaprabhu. There's so much to talk about there. I could ask for questions, but I guess I had three classes to give, and there's only one class. Let me just say a little bit about Sri Gadadhar Pandit. He was a descendant during Mahaprabhu's time of the mood of Srimati Radharani, of always trying to please Krishna. Sri Gadadhar Das was the effulgence of Srimati Radharani, and Gadadhar Pandit was more Radharani herself. Just had this whole long, wonderful part to read, but I won't. I'll just read a little bit that's specifically about Gadadhar Pandit. Prabhu, if you would leave the door open somehow, then a little air would enter. When Mahaprabhu first decided to go to Vrindavan, first time after he took sannyas, this was quite soon after he returned from 2 years of traveling in South India. And the devotees, they couldn't tolerate the thought that he was going to leave. So we know that love means you give up your own interests for the pleasure of the beloved. You give up what you want for
to please someone else that you love. But the devotees, they could not think in that way. When it came to Mahaprabhu's desire to go to Vrindavan, they were so attached to him, they couldn't intellectually think, oh, now it's your, now you want to go, so we should give up our pleasure just for your pleasure. We want to be with you, but what you want is more important to us. They just couldn't think like this. And these are not ordinary people. This is the king of Orissa. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the top pandit, the top scholar, practically in all of India, who was living in Jagannath Puri. They weren't ordinary people, and they had given their lives to Mahaprabhu to such a degree. They couldn't tolerate him leaving. These are historical people. And Ramananda Roy, who was the governor under Prataprudra Maharaj in the south, they couldn't tolerate it. So Mahaprabhu said, I want to go to Vrindavan. So they said, yes, you should go. But now it's very cold in Vrindavan. So why don't you just wait till it's warm, a little warmer. And then when it became warmer, they said, it's so hot in Vrindavan. It would be so inconvenient for you to go. Just wait a little while. And anyway, Rathyatra is coming up. So you should come and you stay and see Rathyatra. And then when Rathyatra came, oh, now it's rainy season in Vrindavan. You just wait a little bit longer. And in this way, for two years, they acted in this way. So sometimes when one's love is so strong as these great exalted personalities in the material realm and the spiritual realm, not ordinary people, they had so much love for Mahaprabhu, they just had to act in that way. It was spontaneous, it was natural, it was beyond their control. So after 2 years like this, what are you thinking while I'm turning the pages? Are you chanting incessantly the holy names? After 2 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan. But he could not leave Jagannath Puri because of Ramananda Roy's tricks, Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and the king. So it's also so interesting that the power of their love was so great, and Mahaprabhu was so exemplary that he would ask their permission. He so surrendered to his devotees because his devotees give their hearts to him. They give up everything for him. They love him so much that he would always obey, not go against the desires of his devotees. So here is a paradox that he wants to go to Vrindavan and they don't want him to go. So for 2 years, he didn't go. So Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says he could not leave Jagannath Puri because of Ramananda Roy's tricks. But during the fifth year, which is the third year where they were court tricking him, the devotees from Bengal came to see the Rathyatra festival, and after seeing it, they did not stay but returned to Bengal. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed the proposal before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy. He embraced them and spoke sweet words. He said, my desire to go to Vrindavan has very much increased. But because of your tricks, I have not been able to go there for the past 2 years. But this time, I must go. Will you please give me permission? Save for you too, other than you too. I have no ability to go unless you give me permission. In Bengal, I have two shelters, my mother and the river Ganga. Both of them are very merciful. And I shall go to Vrindavan through Bengal, and I shall see both my mother and the river Ganga. Now, would you two be pleased to give me permission? When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy heard these words, they began to consider it was not good that they had played so many tricks on the Lord. And they both said, "Now the rainy season is here. It will be difficult for you to travel. It is better for you to wait for the Vijayadashami festival before departing for Bengal." But this time they knew that was the end. But they still couldn't say, "Yes, we haven't done well. Yes." So, when he was very pleased to receive their permission, he waited until the rainy season passed, and when the day of Vijayadashami arrived, he departed for Bengal. Excuse me, for Vrindavan. He didn't ask again. The Lord collected whatever remnants of food were left by Lord Jagannath. He also took remnants of the Lord's kajal ointment, sandalwood, and ropes with him. And after taking permission, still he took permission from Lord Jagannath early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed. And all the devotees began following him. With great care, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade the Oriya devotees from following him. Then, accompanied by his personal associates, he went to Bhavanipur. So they went, then they finally reached Bhuvaneshwar. And after reaching the city of Katak, he saw Gopal, and a brahmana there named Swapneshwar invited the Lord to take prasadam, to eat. Ramananda Roy invited all the others for their meals, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his resting place in a garden outside the temple. And then Maharaj, the king, made so many arrangements. And there's such a description of the mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the king. And there's such a long history behind that I won't even begin to talk about it. But Mahaprabhu was just giving mercy, regardless of who the people were. Just giving mercy. And by the touch of Mahaprabhu, just like if iron touches fire, that fire would become the iron would become so warm, so hot, to be empowered. The people would fall into ecstasy. So the king gave so much. He wanted to reciprocate him. Every place where Mahaprabhu stayed, even for a night, he constructed a plaque and said, "Mahaprabhu stayed here," and he would provide these facilities. Kaviraj Goswami says, "There's no one as merciful as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within all the three worlds. Simply by seeing him from a distance, one is overwhelmed with love of Godhead." Now about Gadadhar Pandit. So he was going to Vrindavan with Paramananda Puris, Swarup Damodar, Jagannanda, Mukunda, Govinda, Kashishwar, Haridas Thakur, Vakeshwar Pandit, Gopinath Acharya, Damodar Pandit, Ramai, Nandai, and many other devotees accompanied the Lord. I have mentioned only the chief devotees. No one can describe the total number. So many devotees, these were devotees from Bengal, were coming with the Lord. But then, when Gadadhar Pandit started to go with the Lord, he was forbidden to come. And he was asked not to give up the vow, because he had taken a vow of Chetra Sannyas not to leave Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu said, "You can't come." So, in his mood, Kadada Pandit was the full love in the mood of Srimati Radharani. How is he going to take this, especially when everyone else is going? But he had taken a vow not to leave the service of Gopinath, Tota Gopinath. Raise your hand if you've seen Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. He is quite wonderful, isn't he? When he was requested, when Gadadhara Pandit was requested to return to Jagannath Puri, because he had taken Chetra Sannyas and he was the pujari, the sevite of Tota Gopinath, he replied to the Lord, "Wherever you are staying is Jagannath Puri. Let my so-called Chetra Sannyas go to hell. I don't care about it." When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Gadadhara Pandit to remain in Jagannath Puri and engage in Gopinath's service, Gadadhara Pandit replied, "One renders service to Gopinath a million times simply by seeing your lotus feet." Mahaprabhu said, "If you abandon his service, it will be my fault. It is better that you remain here and render service. That will be my satisfaction." It's my fault then. I'll be the one who has done something improper if you leave, because you're coming to be with me. So if you want to satisfy me, you should return and serve Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. So there's intricacies in these loving dealings. How is this going to be resolved? Gadadhara Pandit replied, "Do not worry. All the faults will be on my head. I'll take full responsibility. And don't worry, I won't even go with you. I'll just go alone. I shall go to see Sati Mata, your mother, but I shall not go for your sake. I'm not going because of you. I just want to go to see Sati Mata." So, "I shall be responsible for the abandoning of my vow and service to Gopinath." This is the movements of love are very... In Braj, especially, it is said they are crooked like the movements of a snake. You never see a snake going like this. Thus, Gadadhara Pandit traveled alone. So, Mahaprabhu let him travel. But when they arrived in Cuttack, Mahaprabhu called him. And he went to the Lord's company. Kaviraj Goswami says, "No one can understand the loving intimacy between Gadadhara Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhara Pandit gave up his vow and service to Gopinath just as one gives up a piece of straw." Prabhupada's purport. Just to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, Gadadhara Pandit gave up his life's vow to engage in Gopinath's service. This kind of loving affection can be understood only by very confidential devotees. Ordinarily, no one can understand its purport. Gadadhara Pandit's behavior was very pleasing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. Why? And this really shows or tells why we can't imitate these things, because it was coming from the place of pure love and imitation. Oh, Gadadhara Pandit do this, and I'll dishonestly make believe that I have the same. I'll give up everything, and then a few weeks later, like this and like this. So it was coming from the place of pure love in his heart. And therefore, Mahaprabhu was so pleased. Nevertheless, Mahaprabhu took his hand and he spoke to him, displaying, in Sanskrit, pranaya rosh, anger that is born from love.
So everything is there in the spiritual world, all emotions, full variety, anger, pleasure, this, that. Everything is there in the spiritual world. And in the material world, Bhaktivedanta Thakur is saying we shouldn't act like this. But on the spiritual platform, if one is actually on the spiritual platform, then everything is pleasing to Krishna and ecstatic. If it's coming from the place of pure love, that is what the spiritual world is. So he began to explain Pranaya, he began to speak to Gadadhara Pandit from the platform of Pranaya Rosh, or love. Pranaya is a very, very high love, right before Mahabhava. He says, Mahaprabhu said to him, you have abandoned Gopinath's service. You have broken your vow to live in Puri. All that is now complete. You've done it now. He said it with anger. Because Katak is already outside of Purushottam Kshetra. All that now is complete. You have come so far. And your wanting to go with me is simply a desire for sense gratification. In this way, you are breaking two religious principles. And because of this, I am very unhappy. If you want my happiness, you return to Nalatsala, return to Jagannath Puri. You will simply condemn me if you say any more about this matter. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got into a boat. Gadadhara Pandit immediately fainted. He fell down unconscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take Gadadhara Pandit with him. The Bhattacharya told Gadadhara Pandit, Uto, uto, get up. Such are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should know that Lord Krishna himself violated his own promise just to keep the promise of Grandfather Bhishma. Similarly, tolerating separation from you, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, that it is not easy for Mahaprabhu to be away from you for a moment, but tolerating separation from you, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has protected your vow with great endeavor. In this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya revived Gadadhara Pandit. Then both of them, very much stricken with grief, returned to Jagannath Puri, Nalatsala. All the devotees would abandon all kinds of duties for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sake, yet the Lord did not like the devotees giving up their promised duties. All these are the misgivings of loving affairs. And there is a benediction attached to all those who have heard this. Would you like to hear the benediction?
Yes.
Well, then I'll read it. Whoever listens to these incidents gets the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet very soon. Acharye milaye tanre chaitanya charan. So Sri Gadadhara Pandit ki jai. Sri Bhaktila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It is no wonder that Prabhupada wanted to translate, publish and distribute Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it is so full of benedictions and so full of sweetness and so full of instructions. Si si Gonatai ki jai, si si Jagannath Baladev Subhajadev ki jai, si si Radhabalava ki jai, si la Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Hare. That was two of the classes.
No, we'll end here. Hare Krishna. We'll end here. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj, for such a wonderful class. Maharaj, we heard in the class that as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, and although the Goswamis was really highly elevated devotees of Mahaprabhu, and the Mahaprabhu was Lord himself, still the Gaudiya Vaishnav Panth degraded quite quickly, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and revived everything. So when we compare that with Srila Prabhupada, we see that Prabhupada was a powerful acharya, and then we see the next generation of Prabhupada, and they are very dedicated devotees. Now when slowly that generation is going, so how we can, so what should we, the third or the fourth generation, what should we do or what should we not do so that we can continue the legacy of Srila Prabhupada for long?
Yeah, that's a question that many, many devotees are asking, how to ensure that things go on in a way that will be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. It's so easy to give an easy answer, and it's so difficult to give a realistic answer, because Kali Yuga is so strong. And the times change, and things have to be adjusted. And if when you adjust things, it's dangerous, because you pull things in the wrong direction so easily. Well, from my own realization on that, is the secret is in the books, that we should read the books that Srila Prabhupada has translated. Srila Prabhupada's words are so strong sometimes. So strong that sometimes we might prefer to hear, instead of being called a rascal all the time, and a fool, and a dog, and a cat, and a pig, we might rather hear someone saying, "You're so nice." So I think we should listen to Prabhupada's lectures, his room conversations, and we should read his books, not only read his books, but study his books. And never mind what the world is going to do. Just take care of God, your own consciousness. And help others, and Krishna will send people to you. Because it's tricky. It is a very tricky balance. Protect your consciousness and keep in the association of good devotees. And any other suggestions? Yes.
Thank you for the very wonderful class, Maharaj. My question is that if the very first Ratha Yatra was held by Srila Prabhupada, then how come even in Odisha there was the same Ratha Yatra?
No, the Ratha Yatra has been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But what Srila Prabhupada did was even there were Ratha Yatras outside of Jagannath Puri for hundreds of years. Because especially in those days, it was so difficult to travel. You had to walk. What Prabhupada did is he was the first one to start Ratha Yatras all over the world outside of India.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Do you know that Prabhupada came to Ratha Yatra in Melbourne? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. He walked down the street. What street was it? It was Swanston Street. And he went to Ratha Yatras in New York. He went to Ratha Yatra and he went down Park Avenue, the biggest street in New York City. and the Rathyatras, and there were hundreds of people there dancing and chanting. And he went to Rathyatra in San Francisco, London. And when he went to Rathyatra in London, he danced and chanted, even though he was so elderly. He danced and chanted, and walked the whole way of the whole procession, which was kilometers. And the night, and 2 days before, he was ill. And then, and then 2 days later, he was dancing. He was such an amazing person. And read Prabhupada Lilamrita too. That would be, that's another point going back to that and hear about this amazing person. But don't only read the smaller condensed version, read the... And then there's so many books written about Prabhupada, and there's videos about Prabhupada, and there's books about the videos of Prabhupada, and there's remembrances of Prabhupada, and there's... And then, yeah, so keep in touch with that person. Do you have any other questions? That was a real good one.
No.
No. Do you feel happy today?
Yes.
What, now, without looking, what color are Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Devi, Gornita? No, don't look. I have to look. What color were they wearing?
And
Radha Pallava, huh?
Pink.
Okay, now look. Who looks most beautiful to you today?
Normally Jagannath.
Who has the biggest smile?
Jagannath.
Yeah. If you're sad, all you have to do is stand in front of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra Devi. And I think if you stand in front of them, it's not possible to be sad. What do you think? What do you think? Yeah. Any other question? Comment? Can you just raise your hand? Jai Sachi, would you like to say something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice class. Thanks for your association.
You have a smile just like theirs. Because you're sitting over there, I think.
Actually, I was thinking, you know, the deities are a... Srila Prabhupada installed them. It is a expansion of whatever is in his heart. And Jagannath Baladev Subhadra is so happy because Srila Prabhupada is so happy, you know. And that was just... I was thinking about it as you were saying that. So that's
what a nice thought. And that, interestingly enough, that's what Prabhupada was speaking about this morning, that I heard him speak about how to be always happy. And he was talking about being on that high level of Krishna consciousness, of always chanting Krishna's names, getting happiness from the taste of Krishna's names. And then if sometimes we feel unhappy, that's Krishna telling us that we're not chanting enough or properly. We can look at it like that, and then we should go and see Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Devi, and C.C. Gornatai, and C.C. Radha Vallabha, and Srila Prabhupada. What a nice thought.
Yeah. You also mentioned earlier in the class that the Goswamis left all the material stuff, and they had basically nothing material, yet they were the happiest of. And it's the same thing because they had Krishna in their heart.
And also, although we don't like to think of it in this way, material attachments actually cause us so much fear and anxiety. So to be detached is actually a more peaceful way. So how to be And that's what Bhaktivinoda was talking about there, and that's what the third class that I was going to give was really, was about, that the if we chant here Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and preach and help others, Mahaprabhu, that's what he told the Brahmana named Korma, and then the Lepan, previous Lepan named Vasudev, then you'll be humble always, not even proud of your good fortune, and you'll also be always happy. The material tribulations will not touch you, and you will always be in Mahaprabhu's association if you, on his order, do these things, just like you said. Any questions from this side? Yes. Hare Krishna. What's your name?
My name is
Sivya. Sivya. What does Sivya mean? Do you know in English? Wow.
Hare Krishna. I am 11 years old. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the nice class. Maharaj, you mentioned how other Goswamis who were governors in the court of Nawab Hussain Shah, they left their positions. And you said that in that time the governors, whatever they said was the law. So I'd like to ask, why did the Goswamis leave their position when they could have said in their governor position that everybody should chant the holy names of the Lord?
Well, there was one problem. See, they were the ministers for the government, and the governor was a Muslim, so he wouldn't have liked that very much. That's one thing. And he wasn't the governor, he was the king. And they weren't the governors, they were his ministers. The ministers have to act in a particular realm of activities. And when I said that whatever they said was law, I was talking about the district magistrate, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was the district magistrate, which means of a small area being the governor, basically. So when you're prime minister, you have a particular portfolio in the government, you have to stay within the realm of your responsibility. Like if you have, how many teachers do you have in your school, in your class, in your?
We have like 11 teachers.
Yeah. So one of them teaches math, one teaches science maybe, one teaches geography. So if the teacher of math starts telling you about that you should chant Hare Krishna, it won't work very well, even though they really should. And also the other part of it is that Mahaprabhu wanted them to, he had a different service for them to perform. Such an important service. And there's even more, because the king was going very soon, he was going to fight with Maharaj Prataparudra. Because there's history involved. Maharaj Prataparudra was in south, there was a border dispute with the king of Vijayanagara. And while Maharaj Prataparudra and his armies were in the south, Nawab Hussain Shah decided this is a perfect time to attack from the north. So he was going to attack it with his armies and fight, and he wanted Sanatana Goswami to manage the kingdom for him. So he was going to attack the kingdom of Lord Jagannath, and Sanatana Goswami didn't want to have anything to do with that. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada bhaktivinoda ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanand. Sivya, where did you get such a nice name?